Welcome to a beautifully refurbished Central Library in Manchester. My name's Richard Peacock, Chief Executive of SoFar Housing. I just want to run through why we're here briefly and then get over to our speakers. And then I'll end up by asking you to do us a few favours towards the end. All that might take about, I don't know, 25 minutes, something like that. And then we want you to, you know, have a drink, have a nibble, talk to friends and colleagues. And I know you've seen many of each other today already over at Central Station, as was. I have to be out of here shortly after six, I think. Okay, this is entitled, at the moment, Smashing Silly Stereotypes. I think we're all fed up with stereotypes, negative stereotypes of social housing tenants. I say, and it wasn't always like that. I'm not saying it was great in the old days, but when I started as a key clerk to the City of Manchester Housing Department, about 20 yards that way, 36 years ago, it wasn't as bad as it is now. It's really grim, I think, now, with residualisation and some of the things that I think that Danny might touch on. We're sick of Benefit Street, we're sick of the Daily Mail. Many, 4 million social housing tenants in the country are living ordinary lives, contributing in many, many positive ways. Actually, many of us were play shoppers, launch of a cracking film today, which I think might be showing later without sound, of many people doing great things. There's also a booklet on the table there from the National Federation of Alamos, which again, similarly show really excellent, ordinary social housing tenants. So we want to stop those stupid rumours. Stereotypes, if we can. I know some stereotypes are good, like, you know, snakes might be bad, you know, you jump and all that, but a lot of it is lazy thinking, which leads to poor decision making. So there's three or four elements to this afternoon. Firstly, I'm going to ask the Lord Mayor to say a few words. I'm then going to ask Professor Danny Dorling from the University of Oxford to say slightly more words. And then I'm going to ask Carol Burchett, who's so far chair of our scrutiny committee and actually formerly a chair of our board. There might be an opportunity for one or two comments from the floor as well before we come towards the conclusion. The final bit, whilst you're hearing the talks,
or one of the final bits, will be to have a go at completing the hashtag for this event. There's two flip charts in the back there, and there's smashing silly stereotypes up there, and lies, not lies, on the wall.
See if you can come up with something better, because we're stuck. Okay? So that's what we like. Anyway, without further ado, I'm really proud and privileged to be able to introduce the Lord Mayor of the City of Manchester.
Well, good afternoon, and welcome to Manchester. I know you've got a few days of conference that you're sort of enjoying, and you're going about your business and networking. But when I sort of got the details through this, it sort of stood out quite a lot, really. Smashing silly stereotypes. I'm the Lord Mayor of Manchester. I'm not a stereotypical Lord Mayor. You know, if you sort of have an image of the Fat Controller out of Thomas the Tank Engine, I think you're a little bit more there. No disrespect to any Lord Mayors that have had in the past and in the future. But stereotypes, it's a great word, really, because it's how you want to interpret that. Now, I know that over the years, the old council housing, the way it was done, had the stereotypes of everyone was living off the state, everyone was living off benefits. But we've moved on from that. You know, we're in a society now where it's normal working class people, people with jobs, people out there who have got a lot to give back to society, as well as being a part of communities. And the thing is, in a lot of the social housing and working with other different organisations, the people that live in them houses are more likely the ones that get involved with volunteering, get involved with the communities, get involved in the heart of the communities, because that's their way of giving something back at the same time as valuing what they're getting and valuing the situation they're in. So I think it's great that we've got councils, we've got organisations, we've got housing associations all working together to try and come up with something that's going to be like a package that can be put out there to help those tenants, as well as also helping the housing providers to make best use of the people that we've got within our communities. So, as I say, we need to smash those barriers, work together, and I just welcome to Central Library, welcome to Manchester, and I hope you, those of you who aren't part of it, become part of this organisation, join in and give it all you've got to sort of support and promote. So from Manchester, thank you very much for being here, enjoy your time while you are here, and thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you, Lord Mayor. Danny Dorling, many people in the housing organisation know of Danny's increasing reputation. Danny is on ordinary lap, despite the fact he's fetched up in weird opportunities. Tell us a bit.
Okay. I'm not claiming to be that normal. You've only had to cover me for 10 minutes. But I did grow up in a very normal time. I grew up in the 1970s. And I grew up in Oxford. And in the 1970s in Oxford, people lived in all different kinds of houses. And the housing was cheap. My mum and dad had bought their house for £400 in Cowley because you didn't worry about buying a house in a particular part of town back then. Whereas people worry far more now about what neighbourhood they're in. Back then, you didn't worry too much about what school your children went to, because the grammars and the secondary models had just stopped existing, and we just got comprehensive schools, and nobody knew what a good school or a bad school was. It took school league tables in the 1990s, and then paranoid parents who began to move towards the schools that appeared to be slightly better, and then they got a bit better, and then the housing prices in that part of town became £100,000 more than the housing crisis just 2 miles away, which were £100,000 more than the housing crisis another couple of miles away. And lots of children lived in council housing. And it was normal to live in a council house. You weren't going to be very rich if you bought your house. And then we got inflation. And then we got a Tory government in 1979. And then we got the selling off of council housing without replacing it. And we got people being told to be individualistic, to look after themselves, not to worry about other people, but look after yourself and your family. And if you're a good moral person, you will buy your house. If not two houses, if not three houses, you'll become a landlord. And you'll get some tenants, and they'll be your pension, because you shouldn't expect the state to give you a pension. And you roll that way of thinking forward, and you end up with what we've seen in the last few years. You end up with Benefit Street. You end up lauding people who make a fortune, at least until 2007. If you can remember back in 2007, we had images of bankers in the City of London, some of whom had made a good deal, spending £30,000 on a single bottle of champagne. Admittedly with a diamond in it, but the diamond was only worth £10,000. That went in 2008. The bankers actually, well, they carried on partying, but they did it quietly. Bob Diamond was sent back to the United States. He could never understand why he wasn't loved, because he had been lauded before. But the stereotyping of people, depending on their postcode and where they came from, carried on. This stereotyping is dangerous for all kinds of reasons. Not just if you worry about housing, but you get the same kind of stereotyping by education. If you don't work hard enough to bring in enough money to pay for your children to have private education, you're a bad parent. This is bizarre. The rest of Europe doesn't have private schools, and so they spend a lot more on their schools. You see the same thing in health. Again, if you really care, you shouldn't be using National Health Service. You should be earning enough money to be able to afford private health insurance. Quite a lot has been said about how we could spend another £350 million a week on our health service. If we wanted to have the health service that Germany has, we'd have to spend three times as much as that. £1,050 million more a week. Because Germans spend more on their health and tax more, because they use roughly the same system. The French spend 27% more on their health. We spend less on our state schools and less on our state health because a small group of people don't. I wanted to say one thing. I've got a couple of minutes left and not much more. One thing about stereotyping and tenants that's come out in the last, what is it, 4 days? It seems a long time. Incredible stereotyping of council house tenants in the north of England. And there is a massive innumeracy about this. The attempts to focus on one group of people. Lord Ashcroft, very rich man, a lot less rich today than he was 4 days ago, by the way. The value of his holdings have gone down. I don't think he's got £1 billion anymore. It was £1.2 billion 5 days ago. Lord Ashcroft published a poll the day after the 23rd of June. And what the poll showed is that 67% of the people who voted were middle class. Social class A, B or C1. Only 33% of people who voted in the referendum were working class, C2, D and E. Of all those who voted to leave, 59% were middle class. Right? Only 41% were working class. The proportion of leave voters who were in social class D and E, which is the lowest paid people, often the hardest working people, but the lowest paid people, the person who'll clean this room tonight, just 24% of leave voters. Most people who voted to leave lived in the south of England, because the south of England has most voters. That's the southeast, 15% of all the electorate, and majority voting to leave. London, the southwest, eastern region, East Midlands, majority of leave voters. It's not in the north. And most of the people who voted to leave were middle class. Now, the proportion in poor parts of North of voting to leave was high, but the numbers just weren't high enough for that to be crucial. I'm just trying to give you an idea of how easy it is to create an instant stereotype to tell a story about a referendum, when the real story about the referendum is millions and millions of fairly well-off middle-class people in the south of England voting to leave, and that's why we've left. Those are the ones who actually matter in terms of numbers. But everything changes now, and now is a very good time to launch doing something about this, because an enormous number of things are about to change in this country. If we had voted to stay, housing market would have gone up a bit more, David Cameron would have looked even more smug, the Labour Party would still have all his arguments, but as it is, something we're going to get very, very different things, which are largely unpredictable in the next few weeks. But one thing concerns stereotyping, and not of social housing tenants, but of another group. And I just want to end by asking you not to stereotype them. And these are the people who in the last 12 months took out a mortgage. The people who took out a mortgage at the top of the market, who borrowed more money than their entire families had ever borrowed before, thinking that interest rates were low, but they're still spending half of their entire wages and salaries on this. And the danger is that we are going to call this group stupid or not clever, whereas in fact nobody can predict the housing market. That's what it's like. Some of these people are going to end up with debts they cannot repay of £80,000, £100,000, £120,000. This will last with them for the rest of their lives. They simply were at the wrong time in the wrong place. And just because they were pretty well-off people, could be people like me, isn't a reason to go, you're just trying to be greedy. And one reason I worry about this is that part of this group were helped by the Help to Buy scheme that George Osborne has spent more money on than anything else. The Help to Buy scheme is where we have lent people outside London 20% of their mortgage, and within London we have lent them up to 40% of their mortgage in the event of house prices falling because the banks and building societies will not lend to people. And George Osborne said, house prices can't fall. These people are going to cost all of us a lot of money, because when the prices go down, if they default on their mortgage and their home is repossessed, and sold at auction, it won't be the bank losing the money, it'll be the British taxpayers, or at least the English taxpayers, in the one which I left
in. We're taking applications.
Yeah. The problem is, it is, a lot of this is funny now. I like the fact that Boris Johnson has done more to reduce the wealth of people in Notting Hill than any Labour Prime Minister in history managed. And it is quite funny, but the problem is that it will stop being funny in 3 months, 4 months, 6 months. And when it stops being funny, you can go in two ways. One way is you can start looking around for who to blame and saying that people have not tried hard enough, have been greedy or whatever. The other way it can go is you can say we are all stuck here with this. And we haven't had a tsunami, we haven't had an earthquake, nobody has knocked down our housing stock. Some people have tried to be very greedy with it. The man who's selling 1,000 homes in the south, do you remember him? He bought them up in 95? He's 67. He's only sold 500 of them. He's already selling the other 500 at a discount as quick as he can. Right? Some people have behaved very, very badly. But we are going to have to deal with this together. And I think, wouldn't it be brilliant if social housing tenants could come out and say, we do understand your problem if you've just taken out a mortgage, and we don't blame you for the fact that you're going to take so much more money than I have ever taken from the state to look after you. Thank you very much.
Carol Burgett, who I think this is your third speech today, is it, Carol?
Third speech, that's right. I'm not going to tell you how long I've been a social housing tenant, but suffice it to say that Winston Churchill was Prime Minister. I'm going to tell you my story, in a way, and how I feel about stereotyping. We wouldn't call it stereotyping, but when I became a tenant, I was always aware that you were slightly looked down on by the people who owned their own houses. But because they owned their house, you didn't own yours. But it wasn't nasty in any way, it was just that you didn't earn as much as they did. It was quite well. But in recent years, it's become nastier. Mainly, I think, down to the media and the papers and the TV, and also politicians and how they talk about scroungers and benefit cheats and that sort of thing. When I first came across it, I coped with it by actually sort of just putting my head down, getting on and living my life. When I became a housing association tenant, I changed quite a bit. They made me believe that there was things I could do, that what I thought was important, and they made me much more confident and outgoing and not just afraid to speak up. So that is what I do now. But it's also odd how people who know me and who know that I'm a social housing tenant, be they friends or even relatives, will make comments about social housing tenants to me. A friend of mine was saying that she wasn't sure that her friend had made the right decision to move because they'd moved near a school, but they actually happened to be near a council estate. Somebody said to me, they're building some houses down the road, it's those social housing. We don't want any of those people left here. And when you want to put any development anywhere that's social housing, everybody screams because they think it's going to affect the price of their property. But if now I sort of challenge them and I say, excuse me, you're talking about me. I'm a social housing. They always go, oh yeah, but we don't mean you. But tenants are no different than any other section of society. Every community is varied, old and young, working or not. And what I do also helps me meet tenants from all over the country, and I really love that. I've lived in my village in South Oxfordshire for a long time. And people around me, some of them are not saints, but they're people who live in their own homes. Those sort of people aren't saints. If you can think of, well, I can think of some people who fiddle their expenses. They've got MP under their name. But I'm never afraid within my area that I live in. I've never felt afraid. I would go out at night quite happily. And I speak to everyone that I see. And anybody in here who knows my husband does will know that he also speaks to everybody. And one of the things that he's quite good at is talking to those young men who maybe have got into a bit of trouble and they become a bit defensive. But they're easily knocked down because Dennis always speaks to them. 7 years ago, Dennis and I decided we needed to move. We were living in a three-bedroomed house. We knew that there was a family out there somewhere who wanted a house. So we wanted to move to something smaller. But I was going to be a bit selfish because I wasn't going to move from where I lived because I liked our community. And I was very lucky, it didn't take long, for that a bungalow to come up that we applied for and we got. And all the people that lived around me were really helpful, helping us pack up, taking stuff to the dump or the charity shop. And as it was only 200 yards down the road, around the corner, stuffing stuff in their cars and their vans. And the man next door to me got a little trolley and took my fridge freezer down the road. Actually, I couldn't quite make up my mind whether they really just wanted us to go. Recently, I've been very glad that we stayed. When I went out after we moved, I still met all the same people, still saw the same people in the shops. But I've had some health problems over the last few months. And those very people have been people that have helped enormously. They took me to the station because I had to go for very serious operations at Guy's Hospital in London. A neighbour took us down to the station, insisted that my husband phoned her so that when she was waiting there for him when he came back. I didn't have to worry about Dennis while I was up in London because everybody, he had a meal, he was taken out for a meal every night, something fed him, made sure that he got the shopping he needed. Did he need his washing done? Well, he never does that anyway. And when I came home, those people were the people that supported me when I came out as well. The NHS, I've got to say, was absolutely brilliant. The speed with which I was seen and my problem dealt with, you just can't believe, because what we hear on the television is all how terrible it is. Absolutely wonderful. The food was appalling. I didn't mind that too much, I'd rather have it that way though. So when I came home, a friend of mine rushed down the butcher's because all I wanted was a cup of tea and a bacon sandwich. So those people that people talk about and stereotype are absolutely wonderful, and I don't live anywhere else. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. We've just got time perhaps for a few comments from the floor. Leslie?
I've been doing a social housing house for over 30 years, and I've got 8 children, and people have often looked at me and thought, like, oh, she's benefits. I've never done benefits, Forest worked. All my 4 older children have gone before it's worked. And even if all my children go to school, they've got a shadow friend who she's really, really friendly with. Her mother brought my daughter to school one day, and I actually turned around and said that her daughter wasn't allowed to go with my daughter anymore, because of where we live. And I sometimes think, you wouldn't get that on a natural social estate. You don't get them kind of people. All the people I know on our estate are hard-working people who work long and social hours for very little money. You probably would, yeah, like to own more properties, but haven't got the means to be able to afford a deposit to get their own properties. And I think sometimes it's nice to hear other people say, no, actually, we're not all just benefit scrounges, we're just attacking from the system all the time.
That's great to hear. Yes, please.
Hi, I'm David Robinson, supportive housing tenant with Brooks Housing Group. I get support staff coming out to me because I've had various mental health issues. So just make sure that I'm keeping kept safe and well. And as a result, I am on disability benefits, but I'm not the sort of. But as everyone at Progress Housing Group knows, I'm heavily involved in Bolton side. And maybe that's a bit of an understatement, but and I find that keeps me very proactive, giving something back to the community. But I've also been, over the last 12 months, I've had my own Facebook photography page. They've got me some photography and artwork, so I've got to look it up. and done lots of photography, around Manchester, taking lots of interesting photographs and putting them on the page, and about a lot of the likes of various people. I filmed this guy that Manchester Union News is when the Vulcan bomber was doing his final tour of the UK. I made an assignment to go to the airport, or the Manchester airport, to film it coming over. And we'll say, I was really riding my love that day because I got it perfectly right. I thought, but mind you, my heart was skipping a few thousand beats trying to get it right.
It's about different contributions to society, I guess, from different people, which I think you're both saying. You said,
yeah, and you know, whether you've got time or not to show the Leicester's film now. Apparently, Owen Jones at a session earlier today said, you know, the media doesn't understand the benefits of social housing. We need tenants to tell their own stories. I feel so privileged to have been involved in the making of the Leicester's film that we launched today. Which features 15 tenants within our membership, 15 out of 60,000 people who've been helped into work by Place Shapers members since the coalition government came in 2010. I spent 2 days filming out on film shoots with them and remembering what it was like when I worked on the front line on the shop floor years ago. And how amazing these people are and the contributions that you all make. I spend far too much of my time writing eloquently about how awful everything is, but we need actually to get our message across through the people we serve, and more and more and more of that. And I urge you all to do the same, and we've had such a fabulous time doing it.
I'll continue a minute. That's really important. I mean, what I think we're saying though is that you know, we do some great work in the organisation, but often it is about people turning their own lives around.
Absolutely, in their own words.
And of course, so many people, like 4 million social housing tenants, anyway, just contributing to society now.
We were staggered at how many tenants we have willing to be filmed and appear in this. You know, because we were guilty of the same stereotypes, or they'll all be worried that they'll be, you know, exposed as scroungers or typified because of the way they look or whatever. We were spoiled for choice, and we just chose the most inspirational stories we could.
I think the gentleman over there was indicated.
Yeah, my name's Michael Galley, and I'm chair of the Tenants and Residents Organisation of England, and I'm a tenant. And what we seem to forget is that I've been involved in volunteering in housing since 1980. Not getting paid, volunteering, my time willingly. And that meant in the last 12 years that I haven't worked. I've never paid a benefit. In October I'll get a benefit because I'll get a pension. And everyone in this room will be on benefits. Gordon Brown changed benefits from an entitlement to from an entitlement to a benefit. So you'll all be on benefits. So you'll all be scrounging for a long, long time. And you've got it. When people say, "Oh, the benefit scroungers," what benefit are you talking about? People with disabilities who have by right get support by the state to live. And this has to be smashed. These stereotypes have to be smashed. And we get more volunteers from our sector working with us and then going off and doing other things in the community than from anywhere else. Right. So it's about promoting those benefits.
Great point. Thank you.
I'm about 20, 30 years ago, I had the choice of, I bought my house, I just got married in the 60s, bought my house, paying a mortgage and everything, and I'd stay about 5-10 years left down the line. It came to the point where my three siblings had gotten in debt, so we had a choice of either giving up our house and to come with a tenant. So we decided to come a tenant. I thought my kids was more important than making sure they had what they need and give them a better life than what they were given and what we were able to give them. And we got a house and didn't have a very good time. People found that I bought a house and I was now in a tenant and I got abuse through that. Saying, I can't afford a house, I shouldn't be a tenant. Then a few things happened and I started fighting for my rights. I was constantly told me, I'm sorry, but council then, they're saying, well, you should be seen and not heard. You should be thankful you've got a roof over your head and so therefore get on with what you're doing. So I started getting on my soapbox saying, I made a decision of either buying, keeping my house or becoming a tenant. I'm a tenant. That house is mine. I pay you rent. I pay your wages.
That's right.
So I'm entitled to this house. So of course, when the other people around me started finding out what I was doing, it's amazing how all of a sudden I've become their best friend. So, and that's how I started my tenant right. I got my soapbox, and that is basically what I tell tenants even now, that your house is yours, you pay rent, but you're paying people's wages. That rent you pay is paying wages and things like that. It's your house, just because you're not buying it doesn't necessarily mean it's not yours. The only thing is, at the end of so many years of paying a mortgage, it doesn't, bricks don't become yours. But the point is, it's still your house, you have a say. And so why should we still attempt, because you're either buying or you're not, because you're just as good as those people who are buying their houses.
Well said, well said. Sorry.
I just wanted to say I'm glad somebody is trying to stereotype me here. I've got a travel background. But my mum remarried and we moved into a house, and that was brought, well, we were basically, they said, called it slum clearance. It was for a road that they wanted to build in Sheffield, so we moved into a council house. Since then, I've been with South Yorkshire Housing since 1979, when I moved out of a relationship that was quite aggressive and violent, and I was homeless. So South Yorkshire Housing took me on in the only house they got available at that time as a homeless single parent with three young children. I've worked, I'm a teacher, I'm a nurse, and then when I got to the age of 50, I was classed as disabled. So I was then on benefits. So I've been in South Yorkshire Housing, working full time as a nurse and a teacher, on benefits, and now I'm retired. I'm also a non-executive director at South Yorkshire Housing, and that was only through the encouragement of Tony and the people in the Housing Association saying, yes, you can do that. Because when I first went to meetings, I never opened my mouth. And I just think somebody trying to stereotype with the background I've got and the way that I've been through life. Yes, I'm on benefits again, now I'm retired. But actually, I'm enjoying putting in my work. It's the housing association.
Thank you very much for those contributions. If there aren't any other burning ones, I know it's pouring hot in this room, isn't it? And there are some drinks and bits at the back there, and I think we've got to be out in 15 minutes or so. Perhaps I could just pull it towards the conclusion. What we've got at the moment is, I hope, the starting of a collection of like-minded organisations. At the moment, six have signed up with us to put about £3,000 each in to a fund. I know there's another one, another borough in Greater Manchester that's coming on board as well, so we'll be seven. We would like that to grow to maybe 10, 11, 12, so we have a real good fighting fund so that we can then do something about launching, collecting what's going on anyway. As Lucy says, some fantastic stuff out there, some great stuff going on in London as well. Pulling that together, but then, you know, multiplying it and actually then getting a national campaign going about smashing city stereotypes or whatever we're going to call the thing at the end of the day. Because we're doing some great work. We've heard little snippets here, which is fabulous, isn't it? Mm. But it can flitter away, wherever it is, you know, disappear, because it's kind of small in you know, local communities in Wiltshire or South Oxfordshire or wherever. And I think by bringing it together, those examples together, and then putting a bit of oomph behind it, with a bit of marketing clout, I think that can then punch, hopefully, above its weight and actually do something on a national scale, really, to try and tackle stupid stereotypes. We won't change the Mail, of course, or Channel 4, but, you know, we can have some great impact, I think, about showing people's excellent lives, the snippet of tonight, rather than the lies that we have so much about. So, in conclusion, you've all been name tagged as you came in. You'll be you'll be followed up, as it were. We've got your name and number, and we'd love you to join us and, you know, make six or seven, you know, maybe double the number, and then we'll have something that we can really get excited about. May I thank you all for attending, particularly Dan Dorling, Cal Burchett, and of course the Lord Mayor of Manchester. Thank you very much indeed.